Good evening, everyone. I'm going to talk a little bit today about the challenges of chronic illness and special needs in the family. For those who don't know me, my name is Kevin Pynchon. I moved to Minnesota about 2.5 years ago, myself and my family. And we became members here about 1.5 years ago. We came from Alabama, and we're really enjoying it here in Minnesota. So Solomon spoke to nothing is new under the sun. You know, the way my grandfather, if you picture the old southern gentleman with his overalls on, he would always say, if you keep living long enough, you know, you're going to experience things and you're going to see things. And the great thing about that is the Bible has the answers for whatever you may face. And so as I talk about my situation today, just keep that in mind. There isn't enough time to speak to all the things that God has done for me and my family. There's not enough time in the day. This week has been particularly challenging. If you notice, when I limped up here a little bit, I broke my foot a few weeks ago. And unfortunately, as timing would have it, my wife had a blocked hernia, essentially. And so she's at home resting right now. So a lot of these principles and things we've applied this week as the events that we've had going on. And so for today, I'm going to talk to you all. It's really a one-way conversation. It's as much for me as for those in attendance. And it's not something I take lightly. When we look at James 5 and 20, it tells us, let him know that he which covereth the sinner from error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of his own sins. So there is indeed something very powerful about any of us, whether we're in the pulpit or in everyday life, speaking to anything that gives insight or helps encourage others. So I'm going to kind of walk through the situation that I have in my life. I'm going to provide the background of the situation, the impacts, what we did, and lastly, how we move forward. So to give you some background on the situation, and I'll start each one of these situations up with a scripture that kind of represents that situation. And so Romans 5 and 3, 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So 6 years ago, we were living in Alabama. I was doing what I always would do for a living. I was an HR manager over a facility. My wife was a financial analyst. You know, we had everything except for the picket fence, you know, the dream life. My son was born on November 9th, 2010. Healthy baby boy, my second child, my wife and I's first child together. And everything was smooth. You know, I think we all the times take those things for granted. We jump from birth to college, and we're already planning everything up, and we're already moving past events in life as if they're a given. Around 21 months into his life, he lost all his communication. So at 21 months, he lost his ability to speak. The words that he had were gone. He exhibited repetitive behavior. He began to toe walk. Foods that he normally ate, he no longer ate. He developed stomach issues. We noticed he no longer would look us in the eyes. Tons of sensory issues, issues with sound, issue with things that we normally as humans can easily take in. Trouble sleeping. And so looking at those signs, we went and had him diagnosed, and the diagnosis for him was autism. I'll never forget walking out of that doctor's office and going to the car, and my wife screamed. And I'll never forget the sound of that scream, of knowing that our child, who we had these dreams for and visions now, had lost that ability that we had once seen. My wife and I have always been workaholics. For me, it was one of those things to where she got it. She understood autism. She understood the impact it would have on our lives. For me, it was like, nothing else. We'll deal with it. We'll get a plan. We'll move on. I didn't understand what it is. So the clinical diagnosis of autism is neurological developmental disorder characterized by impaired social interactions, verbal and nonverbal communication, and restricted repetitive behavior. But it's much more to a family. My wife did the research, and we determined that ABA therapy was our best course of action. We did the research and found out that Minnesota had one of the best programs for ABA therapy. I worked for a company that was headquartered in Minnesota, and the recommended procedure going forward was to have 40 hours of therapy, of intensive ABA therapy, to hopefully change some of those behaviors. We had begun interim therapy in Alabama. This was all out of pocket. So families with autism, companies don't cover this. So you're on your own. And you're talking about six figures, okay, to provide even part-time therapy. And so we did the research and we found out that Minnesota's had a plan called TEFRA. And what TEFRA does is it allows for families to provide autism support for their kids without going financially bankrupt to do so. So the problem is that we found out there's a place that we can go that can provide this. There's therapy available, but the job that I needed to get, I was currently not in it. I was an HR manager. To get to Minnesota, I had to be a director. And so I was a long way from that at that point. And so we continued with the therapy we had in Alabama, paying a lot of money out of pocket. And I continued to work toward that path of moving up within an organization, partly not so much as my own ambition, but because I needed to be here. I interviewed after a lot of work, didn't get the position. I called my mother-in-law and shared with her, and she kept encouraging me. And luckily, over time, after a year of working, and I put all the it's all on God, because those weren't abilities that I had. Those were abilities that God drew out of me. And I encourage anyone, as you think about it from a career perspective, a lot of times we put emphasis on preparing, and sometimes we got to let go of the steering wheel. You've got to let God take over. And in every one of those situations, things came out of my mouth that weren't in here. I didn't have that ability. I put all that emphasis on God for allowing me to be put in a position where I could come here. And so I got the job. We're feeling good at this point. We're able to move here to Minnesota. Unfortunately, my daughter is in Alabama, so that made me making a tough decision. I've got two kids. I've got to leave my daughter in Alabama. I've got to come here. But at the time, that was what we had to do to help our son who was struggling. So I got the job. I'd immediately come here to Minnesota to work with Hennepin County, set up the autism program for my son. My wife was in the process of transitioning. And right at that point, in February when I moved here, we found out my mother-in-law had lung cancer. So my mother-in-law was our biggest supporter, was KJ's biggest supporter, was my wife's go-to for everything. And so at that point, I was here in Minnesota. My wife, of course, had to stay back and help take care of a mother and take care of her 21-month-old, 24-month-old child. And unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away. She passed away about 7 months after that. And so then my wife transitioned here to Minnesota with me after being apart for about 6 to 7 months. And we began KJ's program, albeit under a tough situation, having just lost my mother-in-law. And she was a great woman, a woman who loved KJ and had hopes and aspirations, and who really was an encourager for myself and for my wife, not only in career, but also in KJ's therapy. And so we transitioned here. And I'll move to a second part. So 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And so at that point in our lives, that's where we were. You know, we were in a tough spot, but we weren't destroyed. We still had hopes, and we still had our faith and our hope in God, that he would make a life for us. And so the example here for me is, in life, when you get hit by a punch, I've always prided myself on being able to take one and step back up. Having a child with disabilities is like a punch that you just don't recover from. You have to work for every inch. Every inch requires tons of work. Things that I took for granted as a parent of a child who didn't have those special needs, it's not a given. The smallest incremental changes are celebrations to us. You know, the things that you look at and you take for granted, we all take for granted. We assume those things are just going to happen. We assume our kids will talk. We assume these things in life will happen. And the reality of it is that those are blessings, and we should never take those for granted. And another thing is that me and my wife did before that changed for us in our life is we used to stress about the small things. You know, we used to stress about smallest stuff. The smallest stuff would become the biggest issue. We'd be worried about things that in the big scheme of things don't matter. And I'd encourage all of us, as we look at the things we face in our life, what does it matter? Are we sweating stuff that doesn't mean anything when the long goal for all of us is an eternity with God? And so I'll move into the impact, and I'll start with a scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when we came to Minnesota and began to understand the complications that KJ had, here are a couple. Sensory, so sensory overload. So if you think about going to a fair with your kids or going to the state fair, what will be normal, noise, and those kind of things, KJ doesn't process it like we do. He internalizes it, and then it causes disruption. Noises, things that are just normal parts of life he struggles to adjust to. From a sensory perspective, certain textures, certain things that we just put our hands on are unique to him. Some he likes, some he doesn't. Food, limited diet. So for KJ, he has three primary foods. He has a certain type of chicken nugget he eats. He has Chick-fil-A fries, so thank God for Chick-fil-A. When we came here to Minnesota, we had one here. And he has a certain turkey that he eats. And that's it. Those are the three foods we rely on. And so you can imagine the planning that goes around, making sure those foods are always readily available. And we have food therapy that tries to expand that limited diet. But it is a challenge. Sleep. Okay, so we've all, if you've had children, you know those first few weeks of your child's life, the sleep patterns are pretty disruptive. And so there's that constant waking up, that constant, we've been doing it for 6 years. So if you can imagine from a sleep deprivation perspective, my wife and I, 6 hours is a good night. We don't know what sleep looks like. Sometimes we get 8 hours, sometimes we get three. And we've learned to cope and deal and continue to work on that. The medical issues. So we have to participate in a lot of sleep studies. There's a lot of food therapy, speech, occupational, digestive issues that come for children who have some of these type of challenges. And then the repetitive habits piece. So that's when we first knew something was wrong, because he would line up all his toys in a row and he would become almost obsessed with things being a certain way. And those things have gotten a lot better with therapy. I'll never forget when I first moved here, I was having a rough day. KJ and my wife were here. He was having a rough day. I was trying to get him in the car. As I was getting in the car, he didn't know what was going on. That communication gap exists out there. And so he was scratching, biting. I was clawing. I was putting him in the car. And I'll never forget a lady that was waiting for my parking spot started honking her horn. And that caused him to get more and more upset. And then she just continued to honk her horn, get more and more upset. And in my mind, it took everything in me to just think, like, if you only knew a little bit of the challenges I'm currently facing here, that parking space is going to be here in 30 seconds. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in life that we make assumptions. She probably didn't know what I was going through that day. But I'd encourage all of us, you don't know what that day looks like for that person. The thing that is going to inhibit your day by 30 seconds, 60 seconds, step back and think of all the possible things that person could be dealing with as they go through that. So I've talked a lot about what KJ lost through the autism piece, but some of the things he never lost, which are blessings for us, he never lost his personality. A lot of kids with autism, they struggle socially, and they don't necessarily want to interact with other people. For KJ, he never lost that. He's still same fun-loving, that good-natured kid. And we thank God for that. And with the autism therapy, a lot of the things, we're making a lot of progress. So I'll talk to you next about what we did. So Philippians 4:13, a verse that I strongly believe in. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I spent the better part of 16 years building transportation and logistics teams, primarily with the goal of getting product to stores, gaining all efficiency we can, and that's kind of what I've been known for throughout my career. So my wife and I, what we did, we decided to do the same. We put together a team. So when we moved here to Minnesota, we put together a team of therapists. And again, Minnesota has some great options in terms of affordability and resources and support. And so what our weeks look like, we have KJ enrolled under 48 hours of intensive therapy. So I have seven therapists a week who work with KJ Monday through Saturday. That starts every day at 8 a.m. It ends every evening at 6:30. That's seven people. Monday, for an example, one works from 8 to 10:30. They tag out. Another one comes in. And that's every day what we do. So we decided, hey, we're going to take it into our own hands. And it's going to be tough. And it's a challenge. It is, because you just imagine having seven people in your house every day. Some days you don't feel like doing it. My wife and I also have so many hours of therapy hours that we assume. So every Saturday from 11 to 2, I'm actually getting trained in therapy. And my wife does the same throughout the week. And again, we have quarterly evaluations every quarter where we talk about the patterns he's exhibiting toward ultimately a goal of catching up with some of the deficiencies that he has. The challenge with that, though, is every quarter, after all your work, someone has to tell you how far behind you are. So imagine you walk into a room, you're feeling good about progress, you know the work you're exhibiting, and someone tells you your child at 5, almost 6, is no longer 1.5 years old. He's maybe 1.5, he's added a month to the progress. So those are the challenges, because you can continually feel beat down by the work, the 48 hours, and you don't feel like you're making necessarily the progress you'd like to make. But we are blessed. So we meet quarterly, and we also talk through with our therapist our plan. Every quarter we have a reevaluation of our current plan, and we look through the things we're doing, the things that are successful, the things that are opportunities. And my wife manages this team of 7 therapists through all the things that you would manage a typical team in a workplace environment through. And it's a lot of work. But again, it's very rewarding when we do see progress that KJ has made. So again, many of the nights, you know, I talk about the sleepless nights, but my wife deserves way more credit than me. You know, from 1 to 7 a.m., so many nights I can tell you she's up all night long. She's up doing that, and she still has time to go through and do the things just to do from a therapy perspective, still support me and my job as I travel quite a bit. And she's, and what she's done, I can't put it into words, and it's the ultimate expression of love that I've ever seen. So you think about for KJ, what's it like, you know, living in a world where you have all these sensory issues going on, migraine, headaches, a lot of kids with autism have seizures, a lot of things that where your body's almost, you can't control it. It's not built necessarily for the way our world operates. And what's it like for him to be a good-natured, carefree kid? Sometimes he's so frustrated. And think about the communication frustrations he has to have to get to that point where that good-natured kid becomes aggressive or loses his cool. And so it's one of those things for us where the communication has improved some. He actually has an iPad that he uses, and he uses an app called Proloquo where he goes on and he picks the things that he wants to do. And he's able to express himself through that. And we continue to work on the communication, and we have seen some gains. But the reality is it does take a toll physically and emotionally on a family, just continuously living that life. And so how we move forward. So Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. We use the term a lot, bad, I'm having a bad day, or I had a bad day. In reality is that we've probably eaten, we've probably slept, and while we have our aches and pains, we can move on. We have to understand what a bad day is. For all of us, it's very rare in our lives that we truly have what I'd call bad days. Most of our days are very good. In fact, we just take those things for granted. I'll never forget my cousin, who was an older cousin of mine who I always looked up to. And he had his life in front of him, and I remember he had a car wreck, and he was paralyzed from the neck down. And I spent a lot of time with him. And one of the things we'd always talk about would just be, he would talk about a lot of how he wished in his current state he had appreciated more when he had the ability, those simple things that we take for granted, like walking, eating, being sufficient, taking care of ourselves. So again, be thankful for what we have. Understand what those around us don't have. When you see someone with a disability, understand their lives are different than you, how they sleep, the challenges, the stress, it's not the same. Things you think of as small or big for them. We just want our kid to talk and understand. We're much less concerned about honor rolls, right? We just want the basic necessities. And we want them to be able to just be able to ultimately serve God, and be able to understand things from a biblical perspective and ultimately go to heaven. That's our goal. It's not any deeper than that. And so I even think back to my own experience. About 7 years ago, I had a knee surgery. And during that knee surgery, it was a routine knee surgery. I didn't think much about it, but I ended up having a blood clot. And I had 2 blood clots in my legs, and they ultimately traveled through my lungs. And it was an experience I'll never forget, because prior to that, I played sports. I always felt like whatever I wanted to do, I could do. And I can tell you, as I lay in that bed and those two blood clots came through my lungs and I passed out and felt like that was death, that the things that we worry about every day, that was not what was on my mind. The only thing on my mind was, have I done enough to see God? That's it. And at the end of the day, I think for all of us, we have to constantly put that at the forefront of our minds in terms of what's important. So God has taught us in whatever state to be content. Romans 12:2 teaches us, be not conformed by this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in addition to worshiping and studying, we have to leverage those examples of those folks around us. For myself, my wife, and her selfless example for me, keeps me humble. My mother, you know, raised me as a single mom, was a Christian, is a Christian, and taught me to be the bigger person regardless of whatever situation I face. My mother-in-law, Lynetta Jackson, she was selfless in how she lived her life and relentless in love that she showed her family. You know, how can we as a congregation and society really be our best selves, every day removing ego and pride and all Satan's devices that he has for us that veer us off course, because they're woven into the patchwork of everything we do. And sometimes we're aware of, sometimes we're not. We have to think less about what society thinks of us and focus more about what God thinks on us as we live our lives and how we live them. So KJ's challenges have taught me to see the world differently. The Bible teaches us to approach his word like a child. And oftentimes I think that KJ may have always had that childlike attitude, but he's pure and his thoughts are pure. And we have to take that childlike enthusiasm that kids have and look at God's word through that same vision of purity in our everyday life. So KJ's disability in certain ways grounds me and grounds my family. And despite all those challenges, we still overcome. We still do everything that we would do without KJ having autism. Still trip to Disney. KJ plays in the Miracle League, which is a really cool thing here for kids with disabilities, where he plays baseball. He's done kickball league. He's getting ready to start basketball league. So we go to baseball games. We do those same things. Requires a little bit more work, well, a lot more work, a lot more planning, but we don't let it stop us. And the thing I would say to you all is that don't let things stop you, regardless of what those challenges are. There's a way, and if you pray to God, if you're faithful, you can figure out a way. And especially for a husband and wife, as you work together, my wife and I are the ultimate team, because everything requires teamwork. And so it's even brought us closer together in that way. And so, like I said before, our goals for KJ are not necessarily, we've had to change them a little bit as life goes on, but we're seeing a ton of great progress. There's things that he couldn't do a year and a half ago that he can do now. He's very creative and innovative. He has this, as he learns skills, he builds things. So we're seeing different skills pop out of that based on things that we didn't even know were there. And again, his personality is still there. And he's still making strides. We're seeing some communication. There's some words that he lost that he's been able to come back with. There are things in progress we're seeing that give us a ton of optimism toward ultimately his life. So 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. And so I tell my wife, I tell my kids all the time, with the difficulties we face, I'd rather have my life with my wife and my kids than any life in paradise. To me, this is paradise. Regardless of what I deal with, regardless of what our family deals with, when you're doing it with someone you love and the person you want to spend your whole life with, it makes it paradise. And that's the thing I would say to each and every one of us is, regardless of the circumstances, think about how much we have been blessed with. So the three things I'll leave you with today, give people the benefit of the doubt, number one. We're all busy. Sometimes we assume the worst than others. Be patient. Be present. You know, years ago, a mentor always told me, be present. And I didn't really know what it means, but so oftentimes in life, we're not fully present. We have tons of things going on in our mind, whether it's work, whether it's church, whether it's home, and we're not all there. I'd say be present and get off cruise control, which we sometimes can get into. The second piece is be humble. Life has a way of humbling us at some point. have tolerance, understanding for things or what someone might be going through, and don't take what you have for granted. And the last piece is perseverance. Focus on what you can control. Develop a plan. Deal with it. Pray. God will lead you forward. Henry David Thoreau was one of my favorite authors. Quote, "The price of anything is the amount of life you exchange for it." And so if you're not a Christian, how much of your life are you willing to exchange to serve God? Jesus gave his life for us. Are you willing to give your life for him by being baptized? If you are a Christian, how many of the blessings in life have you taken for granted? If you need to be baptized or confess, I ask that you do this after one of our brothers comes forward and leads us in the song. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate it very much.